Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Nintendo Wirecast. We're on episode 25. I can't believe we've been doing this for 25 weeks. I'm one of your hosts, Hero TJ, and I'm here with the legendary Hero himself, with the most fleekest eyebrows in all of Animal Crossing, Amiibo Jason. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Speaking of on fleek, a video we put out today had the words on fleek on the title card, and people didn't like that.
You know what, though? I think a lot of people don't get kind of the long-standing legacy that that joke has on the Nintendo Wire channel.
It's a bit inside.
It's a little inside. People have been unjustifiably critical of your eyebrows.
They have been.
In videos. And now, I'd like to go on record as saying, I think that your eyebrows are completely on fleek.
Thank you.
Now, because you happen to do a video on Animal Crossing specifically dedicated to how to give your character eyebrows, and you can design them however you want. And I will say I did that this morning.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome. And now my character is fully eyebrowed and ready to go. I'm super stylish in the land of Animal Crossing now. Hero Isle has an eyebrowed hero now. So that's great. But because you put on fleek, I think people who've been around for the last 3 or 4 years, they're probably chuckling to themselves. But what kind of criticism are you receiving from the comment section now?
Like, it's 2020. Nobody says on fleek anymore.
Well, that's the joke.
Yeah, it's the joke. I mean, it's fine. I mean, my eyebrows, it's hard to see them. They're very thin. Very thin.
Because people were saying that you had some of the most groomed and plucked eyebrows.
And I've never
on the internet.
I did burn them off once.
But that was purely accidental.
That was accidental.
It was. So you do, like, this is Amiibo Jason going on record as saying he does not go to any special effort to make his eyebrows look like that.
They are
just naturally, perfectly on fleek.
They're just this great.
Yeah.
So what's been up with you, besides Animal Crossing, which I'm sure we're going to get into? Besides, what's your non-mayor life like? Even though I guess you're not the mayor anymore, but I still consider myself the mayor.
I consider myself the dad of Animal Crossing.
Okay,
we'll get into that in a little bit. I had an unfortunate setback in the gym recently.
Sure.
I realize it's a luxury these days to be able to go to the gym. I live in Taiwan,
and
right now the virus situation is a little bit more contained than it is in the United States, so we still are able to go to public, but people have to be very careful. So I've been... For those of you guys who have been following, I'm a second degree black belt in Taekwondo, and I've been studying for almost 20 years, but I haven't gotten into Taekwondo since leaving America. And I left as a national competitor, so I was kind of missing that in my life. And I joined a UFC gym out here, and they don't offer Taekwondo, but they offer jiu-jitsu and boxing and Muay Thai.
Sure.
And a whole bunch of other martial arts. I've studied a lot of martial arts. I've done Shotokan karate and Taekwondo and wrestling and kung fu. So I really do love just the idea of physical art, like trying to move my body in ways in a martial artistic fashion. And so all the ones that they offer at this gym are things I haven't done. So I just jumped into jiu-jitsu and I have been loving it.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. And
that's a lot of rolling, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would roll with everybody.
Yeah.
But a week ago, I just took it a little too far, and I'm not good. I'm not good at all. And I'd also like to go on record as saying my previous history in martial arts, aside from 3 seasons of wrestling in high school, are not applicable to jiu-jitsu. So like Taekwondo, yes, I'm fit and I'm strong, but I don't have any technique. So I'm just like instinctively protecting myself, and I have no offensive game. So I twisted in such a way that I tore a rib muscle.
Oh my God.
And rib muscles are, I'm finding, I've had bruised ribs from Taekwondo, but a torn rib is shockingly impactful to everything that you do. So I could like stand up and I'm fine.
Yeah.
But anytime I try to lay down or get back up, even standing and sitting is not too bad. But if I'm trying to like go from vertical to horizontal or from horizontal to vertical, it is a process. I've had to like invent like new weird ways to kind of scoot around. My wife laughs at me. She thinks it's hilarious seeing me inchworm like from out of the bed this morning to try to stand up. But I'm happy to report that every day I'm like 5% better. I still continue to go to the gym. I train my arms and my legs as long as I'm not like too out of control. I'm trying to be careful. I'm trying not to lose any of the gains that I've had in terms of like progress of putting on muscle, but it is tough when you're dealing with an injury. So I'm doing my best that I can with that.
So you're getting better.
I'm on the mend.
Okay, good.
I'd like to think in a month I'm going to be rolling with the best of them again and getting beat up again, but
still, of course,
having a blast. I mean, I'm in glory when I'm doing that. If I'm not playing video games, the most fun I'm having is fighting people. I don't know why that is. I just love it. Now, what games have you been playing?
I mean, besides Animal Crossing, I have two other games. The first is Doom Eternal. So I started playing that. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I'm a big fan of Doom. I've played Doom since like the old PC days. I mean, I'm showing my age to a certain degree.
I did too.
But it was a blast. And Doom Eternal is a game you don't see too much anymore. It's a strictly arcadey, like first person shooter that's not designed to be like this competitive gauntlet. It's not supposed to be this super edgy slash like realistic type game. You, as the Doom Slayer, are tasked to defeat Hell's minions, and you're supposed to feel like you're unstoppable, and that's what this game does. You feel like a force of nature just going through hordes of enemies, and it's a blast. It's so much fun. And on the other hand, a game that I do not feel like I am like a force of nature. I feel very small. I feel very different for this game because it's a VR game. It's called Half-Life Alyx.
Oh, sure.
I have played it for about 4 hours now, and it's an absolute ride. It is an amusement park ride in every kind of way that I can say a video game can be. I'm doing things in this game that I've never thought I'd get to do in a video game. The duck and cover system, like ducking and hiding behind a crate, when a bad guy's like, you know, coming at you. It's cool. It's really neat to see. The unloading and the loading of your gun in this game is really neat too. Most games you hit the reload button and whatever ammo you had in your cartridge stays there and you just, you know, kind of top it off and you don't lose any ammo. This game is very realistic where if you, let's say, swap a mag out, you lose whatever was left in your previous mag. So you can't save that. So you pretty much have to shoot until you're empty, reach into your backpack, grab a new magazine, drop the other magazine out of the gun, pop it back in, cock it, and then go again. And when you're under attack, it's like a four-step process, and it is nerve-wracking. Like, it's absolutely amazing. And when I first started it, I'm like, I hate this. I'm like, it's so hard. I can't beat this game. But then it really makes you think, like, how am I going to handle these three enemies? I have four bullets in my gun right now. I'm going to need to reload. I can either lose these four, which you don't want to because ammo is super scarce in this game. I could lose these four and put a new mag in and go from there. Or I could be strategic, shoot, run, cover, hide, shoot again, reload. It's a blast.
It sounds kind of like what you would do in real life.
It's exactly. They're trying to be as hyper-realistic as you can.
You describing the loading of the gun gave me deja vu because I was chatting with my brother the other day during Animal Crossing, and he basically described that exact thing. And he said almost verbatim what you said describing that process. He also said it was one of the most immersive and realistic VR experiences he's ever had.
It's nuts. It's nuts. I'm using an Oculus Quest, which is right here, by the way. This is a standalone headset that is not designed to play PC games. So I'm playing it with a cable that's tethered to my computer. And it still looks amazing. This is probably the worst way you could play it.
Really?
There are much better headsets that you can get to play this on. But even with this headset, it's everything I wanted it to be. It's absolutely stunning. And I'm 4 hours into the game, I think. 3 or 4 hours. It's a 15-hour game. I'm a big fan of the Half-Life series. I know this has nothing to do with Nintendo, but if you have VR and a computer capable of running it, Half-Life Alyx is worth your time.
So what you're telling me is you can't play it with Nintendo Labo VR.
You cannot. Not at the moment. Maybe one day. Maybe one
day. You know, if we could go back to Doom Eternal for one second, I know nothing about that game, although I did play Classic Doom. I played a lot of it, like the first iteration on PC.
Yeah.
And I loved it, and I had the exact same feeling that you had of like feeling amazing, and I remember putting in God mode and
you know,
the glowing eyes and stuff. But I would say that that's as far as my first-person shooter tolerance level went.
Sure.
I loved that. Anything beyond that, I couldn't do. So with Doom Eternal, how do you control this game? Is it motion controls?
No.
Is your gun kind of fixed in a spot? Is it two-stick?
It's twin-stick. It's a twin-stick shooter.
Okay. So you're aiming with one and...
Yeah, it's very fast.
Controlling the camera with the other?
It's a very, very fast game.
No motion controls at all?
Not that I've seen, but I'm playing it on PS4. So
okay.
It doesn't come out on the Nintendo Switch for God knows how long. It was supposed to come out the same day.
Oh, that's right.
But it got indefinitely delayed, and I'm like, eh. So the good folks at... what was it? I think it's Bethesda who puts this out. They were nice enough to say, hey, it's not coming out on the Switch. You guys can, get a copy on the PS4 for free and play through that. And when it comes out on the Switch, you can play through on that, but you'd still have an idea of what it played like. So we'll have a nice comparison once the Switch version does come out.
Nice. I like that they delayed it. I would rather they just get it right than try to release a day and date with all kinds of problems that they have to patch out later.
I played the... 2016 was it 2016 I can't remember when it came out, the last Doom that came out. I played it on the Switch and it was fantastic. I played the entire game through on the Switch and it was one of these games that was just eye-opening to what the Nintendo Switch could do.
Yeah,
so
that's one of the ones that had a monster download, right?
Yeah,
if you bought the physical copy, you had to download some crazy number of gigs.
But it's a blast. It's between Half-Life Alyx.
15 Breath of the Wilds on there.
Wait, what?
You could fit like 15 Breath of the Wilds in the amount of space.
Oh, for sure. So it's between that, Half-Life Alyx, my work schedule, which is insane. I'm currently quarantined still, so I'm working from home. My job does not afford me to just take time off for this kind of thing.
Right.
I'm actually on kind of like a task force for this kind of thing specifically.
You're one of the heroes.
What?
You're one of the heroes.
Oh, no. No, not at all. No. No, not even close. Not that kind. But I'm working on things surrounding that, and I don't think I've ever been this busy at work in my life, even though I'm working directly from home. So my daughter's upstairs playing Animal Crossing. Daddy, how do I do this? And I'm on a business call trying to handle that. So.
And naturally, like, Phil, hold on. My daughter needs to know how to get a pair in Animal Crossing.
Exactly. It's more like, how do I get my Dodo code? I want to play with my cousins.
That is amazing. That is an amazing thing.
But yeah, they had a really nice play session today. My daughter and her three cousins, who are all very young, having an absolute blast with Animal Crossing. It's kind of like heartwarming to a certain degree.
Seriously, let's dig deep into that. But before we do, I want to throw a couple headlines at you just to get your thoughts.
Let's do it.
So these stories I got from my favorite website, NintendoWire.com.
Aww.
One of them is we just got an announcement for a new Metacom Ultra Detail series for Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
And for those of you guys who don't know, this is the third series of these Zelda ones. The series one was... And these are all based on key art from previous Legend of Zelda games. The first series included Link from... They're all Link. From the original Legend of Zelda.
Yep.
From Wind Waker and from Skyward Sword. Then Series 2 had A Link Between Worlds, Majora's Mask, and Twilight Princess. And then the Series 3 that I think comes out in September of this year has Minish Cap, Ocarina of Time, and Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
And they've released the... images of these, and they look amazing. Basically, every single one of the previous series I have converted into custom amiibo because they are just tremendous looking figures, and they're exactly in scale with amiibo.
Yep.
So I cannot wait to get that Minish Cap one, and that actually the Ocarina of Time one too, because the Ocarina of Time Link that we have for an amiibo, he's actually holding the ocarina, which I love because it's the only way to really specifically identify that character in that game is with the sacred artifact from that game. But I also really love some of the other key art, and the one that they picked here him holding the sword and his shield, and it just looks super awesome. So I am pumped for these. I know it's not Amiibo news, but it is Amiibo adjacent. So what do you think about those?
The Minish Cap one I like. I'm probably going to order that one. I like the Breath of the Wild Link pose and the Ocarina of Time Link pose more than these two. And there's something weird about the Ocarina of Time version. I don't know what it is. There's something about his face that doesn't seem right to me.
Really? Because I love it. I think it's so spot on.
It definitely, it reminds me of, like, if this was made in 96 or 97 well, when this game came out. Which makes sense.
Yeah, right?
So he looks a little beefier, like a more muscular Link, you know?
His neck is a little thick. Like, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I think that's what's throwing it off. Kind of like that Soul Calibur 2.
Yes, it looks really Soul Calibur-y. And the shield is just massive. And
yeah.
The stance is super dynamic. That's one of the things that I think this series has done really well, is while they are based on specific pieces of key art that you could find, official art that's all in the Zelda art archive book, if you look through that, you'll be able to track these down. So they're not inventing new poses, but they've done a really good job of taking those 2D images and converting them into these 3D poses, and they're just so fantastic.
I mean, the Minish Cap one I like a lot. I could see that being a custom amiibo.
Totally.
I think Minish Cap didn't get the love it deserved. I mean, it was kind of like the black sheep of the Zelda family. I mean, I think Capcom made that one?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, Capcom and made that, and they really also made Oracle.
Oh, the Oracle of Ages.
Yeah,
Oracle of
Ages and Seasons. So it's a great game. I actually played Minish Cap for the first time like a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I skipped it, and it was a blast. I thought it was great, and it's one of these games that it's just, you can't tell that Nintendo didn't make it. If it didn't say Capcom, like, on the title screen, I think, or on one of the screens, I never would have known. I think they did a great job transferring it over.
Yeah, I agree completely. It had a lot of fun little stuff in it. Since they introduced the sentient hat, like Link's cap in that game is a wizard and he talks to you. It kind of soured me a little bit to Cappy. Like, I already was resistant to Cappy from Mario Odyssey because I'm like, Nintendo's already done this, and there's no way Cappy's going to be better than whatever they did in Minish Cap. What's his name, Elzo?
I can't remember.
I don't remember. I think it's Elzo.
Was Minish Cap, chronically the first game in the Zelda timeline?
You know, if we're going to have a conversation about the Zelda timeline, That could last a bit, because Nintendo retrofits it all the time according to what makes the most sense and what serves their needs. So it's hard to say. I think when it first released canonically, it was the first game, because it was Link did not have a hat in that game. And
okay,
this kind of explained how he got a hat.
So, however, they said Skyward Sword was technically the first.
Correct, but Skyward Sword came out after Minish Cap. So at the time that Minish Cap released, it was they were kind of presenting it as, hey, this is the explanation of how Link got his hat, and that the tradition has just continued.
Yeah.
So, but it was a fun game, and I think definitely worth a look, and I would love to immortalize it in Amiibo form. So I'm looking forward to that this September.
Yeah, not bad. They're not bad, for sure.
So, and then one more Amiibo adjacent story for you. You may have heard about this. There's a Kickstarter campaign for a game called Sticker Knot Paint War.
Yeah.
And in this game, you're basically invisible, except for when you're squirting paint, and when you're walking through paint, your footprints will be visible. But what is interesting about it is you can create these 3D printed NFC figures of custom characters. And there's a few different ways that you could do it. You can either make your character online and order a 3D printed NFC enabled figure that they create for you, I guess the people who are manufacturing the game. But you could also order a pre-existing model that they already have, or you can get like a blocky character, which you could customize, or you could just get an NFC tag and stick it to any figure that you want to customize for yourself. So I could see this having a little bit of appeal to maybe the Amiibo crowd or the art crowd, the customizing scene. What do you think? Does this interest you at all?
No. I mean, I reported on this actually tonight in the Wirecast, or the Wiretap, excuse me. I mean, anything NFC related, I think, is interesting. I think Toys to Life is dying out to a certain degree. I think Starlink Battle for Atlas selling for like $4 was a good kind of idea. That Toys to Life doesn't have the, I don't know, it just doesn't have the prestige it used to. And I mean, we haven't had a new Amiibo release now, and God, I don't even want to think about it, to be honest. This game looks pretty generic, and I feel like this NFC 3D printing is, what's the word I'm looking for? It's the gimmick to try to sell another generic, like, free-for-all little battle game. I mean, it's one screen. It looks like it's this cross between Splatoon and like classic arcade games. I guess I need more information on what the point of the NFC figures are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, does it save your progress to it? Is there any benefit from tapping your character in?
Yeah, we don't know that yet. I guess that's a pretty key piece of information. Maybe it is available on their Kickstarter page, but I don't know.
I mean, they've gotten $316
out of $50,000.
Could
you imagine if Nintendo leveraged this kind of technology for the Mii Fighters, and you could just order a Mii Fighter that they custom print for you based on the specs of what they have in the game? That would have been so
awesome. I thought for sure it would have happened by now.
Because of what an incredibly difficult undertaking it would be, I'm not surprised it never happened. But it sure would have been amazing. I wonder if they could have made that profitable, because we already know a significant amount about the process of what it takes to make Amiibo, and it's not easy.
Even stickers would have been great. Like, just give me a blank face, a whole sheet of stickers, and let me go to town. I mean, that
there are
fine.
Ways that would have been awesome. Like, if they just gave you a sticker sheet that had basically the different options from the Mii Fighter creation menu.
It
wouldn't have been a solution for different outfits, but it could have been a way, maybe like interchangeable hair pieces. I'm not sure. It would have been awesome, that's for sure.
So I don't know. I mean, it's I'm not sold on this game yet. The figures look pretty blah. It's really cheap, I guess, is the best way to put it. I mean, I know they're tiny. I know that's kind of the point. I don't need another distinct piece of plastic in my office at the moment. So hard pass for me on this one.
Yeah, okay. You still need room on your shelf for the remaining DLC fighters from Smash Brothers whenever they get announced.
Assuming that happens.
I'm sure it'll be soon. You ready to dig into some Animal Crossing here?
You know, I think so. Actually, you know what? I do want to bring up one more thing.
Sure.
Before we do that. This is sort of Nintendo related to a certain degree, but you know what figures I am excited for?
What?
So, Square Enix just announced...
I knew it. I knew you were going to go there.
These blocky Final Fantasy VII figures. And yes, Final Fantasy VII's on the Switch, so this counts. This 100% counts as a Nintendo topic.
Absolutely.
But they are based on the PS1 blocky models, and I want them all. I want them all so bad. They have Cloud, Sephiroth, Reno, Aerith, you have Red 13, Tifa, and Barret, and then there's a secret figure of Cloud and Drag from the Honeybee Inn.
Amazing.
I can't wait. I mean, I'm a Final Fantasy fanatic. Final Fantasy VII is like, I'm dying for this game to come out, and the more time I'm in isolation, and the more time I see how bad the world is getting, like... I'm like, I wonder if they're going to delay it again. They said they're not going to, but I'm kind of worried they are to a certain degree. But these figures are just amazing. These were actually lottery prizes first.
What?
So in Japan had this lottery for $10. You could essentially win one of 10 different items. So they got these first. But they're coming out not in the U.S., in Japan, I think in July. So if you want to check those out, check over on the Nintendo Wire Twitter page. We have a link to buy these things right now. But they're gorgeous. So these are the figures I want to collect. This is the space I need on my shelf. I don't have space for the generic, weird indie game NFC figures.
Copy. So Animal Crossing's definitely been a big time sink for both of us, I'm sure. You know what? I think that maybe, like, while I've been loving the game and having a ton of fun with it, the thing that's most fresh in my mind is all the gatekeeping that's going on Twitter. So I don't know, I don't really know if this is something that you've seen, but a lot of the people that I follow retweet other people, and because my Twitter is largely gaming centric, I get a lot of different gaming opinions all the time, and it seems like everybody has an opinion about the right way to play Animal Crossing.
There's a right way to play.
That's exactly where I'm at with it. Where they're like, if you do this or you do that or you play it this way, you're going against the spirit of the game and you're defying the original intention of the developers. And I'm sitting here thinking, you want to know how to play Animal Crossing? You want to know the right way to play Animal Crossing? Watch a kid play it for 10 minutes.
Yep.
A kid will teach you how to play Animal Crossing.
There's Seinfeld of video games. It's a game about nothing.
Yes. There's only two rules that matter, and this is straight out of Pirates of the Caribbean. what a man can do and what a man will do. That's the only thing that matters. Yep. Because if the game enables you to do it, there is no game that is more perfect. That's the spirit of Animal Crossing.
Intentionally or not?
You can intentionally or not. Okay. That's the spirit of Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing lets you design your own fun. There are some people who play this game who never once design a single pattern.
Yeah.
My daughter's designed every pattern slot possible in the game. Like, to her, that is quintessential Animal Crossing. She loves it. My son thought it would be a blast. My youngest son thought it would be a blast to put a hole in every single possible spot on the entire island. That was his idea of fun. My other son thought it would be amazing to build a wall of butterflies. So, like, every single one of them is enjoying this game in a different way. And I've just been kind of, like, aggressively going after the Nook Miles because it's the most objective-based thing that has appeared in any Animal Crossing. I've played every Animal Crossing, so I'm used to the original play loop. And I was questioning before this one came out whether or not it could grab me again if I really had it in me to be able to just go through all that debt repayment and all that other stuff. But I feel like this game found a way to take everything that I loved about Animal Crossing, everything magical about Animal Crossing, and took most of the things that I found frustrating or that fatigued me about the game, and they kind of mitigated the frustrating aspects, and they played up the things that I particularly enjoy. So this kind of is a perfect storm for just a great, relaxing game. Now, I don't care if people time travel or if people use bug exploits or if people dupe items. I don't care, because I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to enjoy the game. If you want to play your game, if you're like creating, you can only play the game this way, you can't time travel, you can't exploit spiders, you can't duplicate items, you're inventing those rules for yourself. That's your way to play. But to try to impose your views on another gamer, I think you're the one who's missing the true spirit of the game.
It's have fun. That's the only rule of the game.
Absolutely.
So I'll give you my dupe story with this game. Yes. So I'm a duper. I've been dupity duping like since the days of New Leaf.
Of course.
I have a cardboard box.
I've been doing
in front
it since the
house.
Original game.
Yeah, me too. I've never duped in the original. I never knew you could.
I duped. I used the Game Boy Advance. I was duping bells in the original game. It's part of the fun.
It is. So I have a cardboard box in front of my house right now with a Nintendo Switch on top of it.
Same.
And it's very, very easy to just bring in player two and start duping.
Yep. Absolutely, man.
So Happily Candied is a traditionalist.
Yes.
When it comes to Animal Crossing. So no duping, no time traveling. That is forbidden. So she kind of gave me the stink eye when she hears the woof, woof noise.
I love that. Yeah, I could do it blindfolded now because of the sound effects.
I have like 4 million bells in the bank or something like that.
Of course, yeah. That's how you got to do it.
And she was coming over to my town asking for some items. Again, not very happy that I was duping, but then she asked me for some money. And I'm like, you know where this money came from, right? You know how I got this money? So then I very quietly put like a bell bag of like 100,000 bells and another one with 100,000 bells at her feet. I'm like, go
ahead.
You're
a prince.
Take them.
You're
a
prince.
You can
do
it.
You know, for me, I've played this game almost exclusively with my kids.
Yeah.
And almost all three of them at the same time. And it is just a circus.
Yeah.
And in the best possible way. I love it. So my kids woke up and I'm like, hey, kids, I learned how to perform magic in Animal Crossing. And they're like, what? Yeah, check out my magic table I have right here. I need your help though. I need a volunteer from the audience. Who's gonna help me? So my daughter's like, oh, I'll do it. All right, I need you to grab that side of the box. Now rotate it. And what before your very eyes, I will remove the switch from the table, and yet another switch will remain on the table. And the trick went off without a hitch. Both of my sons were like, whoa, daddy, how did you do that? You're making magic. My daughter's like, quick, go into your inventory. I have to see this. I have to confirm this. So I go into the inventory and sure, there's like 10 switches in there.
Yeah.
She's like, dad, this is amazing. Let's keep performing magic. They didn't even care about the fact that you could sell these. They don't even know what they sell for, which is a lot, by the way. It's just shy, like 8,000 bells. So we had a blast performing magic in Animal Crossing. It had nothing to do with the fact that you could make a ton of cash that way. We were taking advantage of a feature that is in the game.
Yeah.
We didn't hack the game. We didn't break the game. Nintendo made it this way. And I am super thankful for it because it gave me and my kids about 45 minutes of pure joy. Plus, I don't just have my house to pay off. I've got three houses to pay off.
Yeah, that's true.
So as a dad who is trying to help my three-year-old, my five-year-old, and my seven-year-old get through this game, they need a little bit of bell infusion.
Yeah.
So as they need to purchase things, they don't know how to manage the money in the game yet. They don't know how to manage their bank accounts. So I'm trying to help them out. And at least with my seven-year-old, she's starting to understand not only about the economy of the game, but about the legitimate savings.
Yeah.
And she was asking me this morning about how she can invest in the stock market.
Nice.
And I'm like, this girl is more advanced with the math of this game than I am. And it's fascinating to me just the different ways that people can approach this and the different ways that the game grabs people based on their interests. And it seems like Nintendo has a serious home run on their hands.
Oh, did you see the sales numbers?
Yeah, isn't it like just shy 2 million in Japan?
They
plus it's sold like 700,000 systems.
Let me pull up the numbers here real quick. I think it's higher than that. So it outsold Pokemon.
Yeah, which is shocking.
It outsold Super Smash Bros.
Also, this is going to be a runaway hit.
Yeah, so yeah, you were right. It was 1.88 million copies in the first weekend.
And that's just Japan.
That's just Japan.
Yeah.
Compared to Pokemon's 1.364 million. And we're in a pandemic. Like, people are staying at home.
Which I think helps this game in a lot of ways.
Oh, for,
this game
for
is
a digital... I want to see the digital versus physical numbers on this. Like, I really do.
Did you purchase physical or digital?
I bought digital. I was too afraid the stores weren't going to be open.
Yeah.
And
I buy everything digital, so it's not really an indication from my side. But
yeah.
I can imagine people who want to check in every day don't want to have to keep switching the cartridge out. Because this would be an annoying game to it would add like another process.
I want a physical copy though. Like I want to be, I
of
like having
you
something
do.
Tangible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But
I get that.
We'll see. I mean, I had to buy three digital copies of this game for me, my daughter, and my wife.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So you guys are all playing on your own separate Switches. Which
we
is
are. Correct.
So you all have three separate towns, and I'm playing it the exact opposite way, where I have five profiles all on my one Switch, and we're all contributing to the same town. And I have to say that's probably the most fun thing about this game is how each of us are kind of setting up our houses.
Yeah.
Separately, and we each have my town's a mess. Like I'm not gonna lie. If you play this game like Happily Candied, and every little blade of grass needs to fit a certain aesthetic, my town would drive her crazy.
Yeah.
But this is kind of giving me another idea. I'm gonna interrupt myself. My first villager that I got was this like pink looking sheep named Dom. Ram or something.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I was I'm going to admit, I was a little judgmental. I'm like, oh, great. I got this like pink-looking rainbow shirt goat thing. And then the first thing he says to me is like, yo, bro, you lift? I'm like, yeah.
Me too.
I'm gonna go do some quads later today. I'm like, I like this guy. And he gave me a present, and it was a pull-up bar.
Yeah.
I'm like, this dude knows me. And then he's continued to kind of like give me a little workout stuff. I got a punching bag.
Yeah.
I like, how is this game doing this? Like, so he's like my workout bro in the game. He came up to me this morning, a few minutes ago, and it's like, I can't believe Annabelle dared to criticize my quads. I told her that in the gym, soreness goes with lifting weights, kind of like peanut butter goes with jelly. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. This villager is coming to me complaining about the criticisms another villager is levying against him because of the way he trains in the gym. And so I give some kind of response that's, I cannot believe she said that to you. He's like, yeah, I know, bro. Thanks for calming me down. I'm like, this Dom is my dude.
Yeah.
I love Dom. I'm so glad this guy's in my town.
I have really nobody memorable in my town at the moment. My daughter got Agnes for her first two. And
yes.
She was so happy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So happy.
Of course.
Not only that, she went to an island for the first time today, and Happily Candied's favorite animal, Pico, was there. So she's got a good town going. I just put down the campground in my game. So the campground, if you don't know, is what you need to use Amiibo to summon animals to your camp.
I saw Harvey, but I haven't gone to Harvey's Island yet. Is that related to the Amiibo thing?
That is part of it.
Okay.
But as of tomorrow, I believe I can start using Amiibo to summon characters to my town.
Oh, so sweet.
I'm excited. I'm going to bring Drake. It's going to be a good time. Agnes is going to come. It's going to be a blast.
I really want to get my dude Sterling in there.
Oh, he's for sure.
Is he the chicken knight?
Yeah. He's the knight.
Yeah, okay. What we're trying to do over here is we're trying to get a villager that represents each one of our astrological signs.
Oh, nice.
According to Chinese astrology. And so my youngest son is a monkey, and my daughter's a dragon, and my son is a horse.
Is there a dragon in the game?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so, is there?
There's some lizards, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe we'll get some. I don't know that all of the villagers have been revealed yet.
Yeah.
Maybe they have, because there was that data mine.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. So we're gonna get as close as we can.
They're gonna add new characters for sure.
Sure.
I'm
a rooster. So
I believe that with what we saw with the Zelda ones, when new games from Nintendo come out, I think this would be the best way to cross promote.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, could you imagine like Yoshi or something? I mean, the fact that they brought Wolf Link and Ganon into the game,
yeah.
I think Yoshi would be a safe bet.
Yeah.
I would what else?
Love
I'm trying to think of who else would be a good
there.
Fit for it.
Obviously, it'd be
a
cool
Pokemon?
To get Epona back. I don't know, but I think the Pokemon are basically untouchable. I don't really think that they want to combine those two for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, well, because of the way the companies are segmented a little bit. But there are definitely, like, Donkey Kong would be amazing if we get Donkey Kong or Diddy Kong.
Yeah.
Or even Dixie Kong. Any of the animals are totally fair game. I think they would be really fun to have in there. That's kind of my favorite thing about Animal Crossing is how it's the only series that is self-aware.
Yeah.
Where you could play in Animal Crossing, Legend of Zelda is a video game. In Animal Crossing, Super Mario is a video game.
Yeah.
So you can get items, paraphernalia. In the original game, you could actually own the games,
yeah.
Which is super cool to me. And I hope that they continue to expand the universe to incorporate more things from more games. That
yeah.
was kind of my New Leaf thing. In my New Leaf house, every single room was dedicated to a different game. So I had like my Super Mario room. I had my Pikmin room. I had my Metroid room. I had my Legend of Zelda shrine.
Yeah.
And then because of the way that the museum that gave you those rooms that you could kind of set up yourself,
yeah.
I made every one of those a different Legend of Zelda game.
Yeah.
And that was like my mission in that game, which was a ton of fun. So I would imagine I could have a lot of fun in this game too if they started putting that kind of stuff in there.
I feel like
I did hate the fortune cookies and the play coins though, because I had to find some kind of hack to be able to get more play coins so that I could, because I wasn't walking around my 3DS all the time.
Yeah.
So I was just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah, I was shaking it. I put it on a ceiling fan.
That works too.
And just let it circle around and around. But you can only get like 99 in a day or something.
Yeah.
So this game. So in my family, it's a long-standing tradition of exploiting Animal Crossing. I have not time traveled in this game. I don't think that I'm going to because it's inconvenient.
Yeah.
But I absolutely think that, like, for people who grew up watching Back to the Future, there is something exciting and something fun about knowing the future and then going back to the past and taking and being able to leverage that to your own advantage.
Yeah.
And Animal Crossing absolutely allows you the opportunity to live out your Back to the Future fantasy if you're that kind of person.
And I did one day I moved
forward. Was it because you had basically exhausted everything you could do and you wanted to keep playing?
It was for a guide. So I was writing a guide for the site.
Yeah, gotcha.
And I was at a weird place. So Nintendo Wire does well enough with most publishers. Nintendo is gracious enough to give us pretty much every major release, but we are not Game Explain, we are not IGN, we do not get stuff like 2 weeks in advance. So when we get stuff, we get it usually the day it comes out for first party stuff. So we are already at a disadvantage for reporting. So sometimes
nobody
a
beat
man
you on
has
that
to
eyebrow
do...
guide though.
What?
Nobody beat you on that eyebrow guide.
I know, right? Actually, I think somebody actually did beat us out to the eyebrow guide, unfortunately.
But they're not as on fleek as yours.
No, that's true. That is very true. So you got to do what you got to do sometimes. So yep. I moved forward a day. I think that
do
was
you roll
one of the
it
weirdest
back now
things,
so that
though.
You can...
Wait, what?
Do you roll it back so that your clock is...
No.
So no. You're living in the future one day?
There's going to be a day where I stop playing, like where I'm not playing every day. And when that day happens, I'll just put the clock back then. So it organically goes back to where it should be.
You being ahead one day actually puts you on Taiwan time. So
there,
you
see, it works.
You didn't go to the future. You just came to visit me.
Well, that's
which,
I
by
like
the
them.
Way,
to learn that.
We need to do because we have not been to each other's towns yet.
We have to do that for sure.
I need to go run amok. What is your town's name?
My town's name. What did I name it? Why can't I remember?
Dude, that is crazy.
Oh, no, I named it Ninwire.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, it's nothing too fancy.
Awesome.
What about, yours was Hero Isle. Yeah.
Yeah, Hero Isle.
But one thing I was surprised about this game was people were so excited to play this. They're like, I'm going to play for 12 hours on my first day. There's almost nothing to do on your first day. You are in this tiny little area that you can't explore the top, you can't explore the sides, you are stuck here. And there's only so much you can do on your first day. And I'm kind of surprised that there wasn't a little bit more to do on the first day. And I think a lot of people were very, like, itchy to time travel, like right off the bat, to do something.
Sure. Yeah, and if you've exhausted everything that the game has to do, and you still feel like playing, why not? Like,
yeah.
Who's to say not? It's your game. Play how you want to play. I think for me, because I am sharing it with my kids, there's always something to do. Like we could run around the game and play, run around the town and play tag. A lot of my time was spent trying to fill in holes that my kids were busting up.
Yeah.
Our friend Abdallah, actually, let me backtrack a little bit. TJ Power, you love it. TJ Harris.
He's
an awesome dude, friend of the show. He posted this technique where you put holes diagonal from stones.
Yep.
And I think this is a technique that a lot of Animal Crossing people have been utilizing for a long time. And so I just retweeted, this is a TJ approved technique, and it's how I bust the rocks too, because you want to be able to get 8 out of whatever you're hitting.
Yeah.
So 8 resources or 8 coins or whatnot without getting bumped out of the rocks.
Got to get that
location.
Ore.
And Abdallah tweeted, hey, you got to get on my level, bro. Fixtures. And it is a great idea. So he like takes crafts or things that you can build, and he moves them into place so that every day he doesn't have to dig holes.
Sure.
But But I replied back, I like to bust my rocks up each day. And he's like, why would you want to do that? It seems like an unnecessary work to have to go look for them. But that's exactly the point. So I break the rocks up every day. It is a fun treasure hunt for me and my kids to go find the new locations of the rock. And it's not something that I like intentionally thought of, but because I accidentally broke the rock the first time because I had a fruit.
Sure.
If you eat fruit, you can dig up trees or break rocks. And that's new to the series this time. So I'm like, oh, I'm super powered up. Well, I just busted that rock. Shoot. I guess it's gone. But then I realized the next day, a new rock will spawn in a different location, which is awesome. So now it's kind of a fun thing. I want to bust every rock so that we can go after these rocks. And me and my kids are like, where are they now? Let's get our stuff. Now let's break them again.
So did you see that you can power down by sitting on the toilet?
What?
So if you're powered up and you sit on a toilet, a little box comes up and it says, well, that takes care of that. And then you lose all your power.
Oh, man. Now, that hurts my busted up rib, brother. It is painful to laugh that hard with a bruised rib. Oh, man. That's good. Oh, I can't believe that. I just got a toilet, too. I just got one.
Yeah, try it out.
But my toilet is... Now, this isn't going to make sense to people in America.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
We don't have these toilets in America. But in Taiwan, a lot of public toilets are actually... Picture a urinal. This might be difficult for girls. I don't know if you've actually ever seen a urinal. It's basically like a wall sink that you pee into. But these toilets are on the ground. So if you're going number two, you're squatting over it. It's like a urinal on the ground. Or you're making shishi into it if you're going number one. And that's what's in my Nook store today. So I'm like, yeah, I'll buy one of those little Taiwan toilets.
Yeah.
So you can't exactly sit on it. So I wonder if the game will let me do that. It's like not like a chair.
Over it,
yeah, I'm not sure if that'll help. Now I got
to
try.
So my first time really in Japan. Curious. So Japan is weird to a certain degree because it's home of the most high-tech and low-tech toilets on the planet. I was used to the toilets at the airport and the toilets in my hotel, which were these robotic heated luxury items.
Yeah,
the best bidets. Toilets on the planet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then we went to the one of these national parks, and I went to the bathroom there, and I noped out so quick because it was just like these holes in the ground, exactly what you're talking about. I'm like, I can't do it. I just can't.
Now, like, I'm not going to pretend I know what it's like to go to the bathroom as someone of the female persuasion, but for a boy, you know, number one, the world is our toilet. We can just go on anything. We're basically dogs. But the idea of squatting over something without sitting on it, that's a bit much for me. I don't think I can do that.
It was a number two situation in Japan. So it was...
Oh, man. You are rough on the rib today. I'm going to have to ice this after. I'm literally holding my rib in. Well, oh, man.
Yeah, got to stay healthy, man.
You did just remind me, though, I got a bidet... as a gift in the mail from one of my neighbors, and I never
looked at
it. In the game
or in real life?
In the game. Okay. In the game. So I immediately put it into storage without ever looking at it. So that might be a toilet that I can sit on. I'm not sure.
That might.
I'm not sure how the. I can't believe we're talking about toilets in Animal Crossing. The fact that it has function is amazing. I love that there are some objects that you can interact with in surprising ways. Some that you wish you could interact with that you couldn't. One of my neighbors also sent me a rocking horse. And one of my sons being a horse, I just put it outside his house as just like a little token to acknowledge him. Because he likes to go to his house and see things that I put there. And it looks like something that you could interact with. It looks like something you could sit on, but you can't. But then there are other things that you would think that you could interact with, that you would think you couldn't interact with, but you can. So I have a punching bag now. It's like a big heavy bag. And you could punch it and stuff just by hitting the grab button and you're punching it all over the place. I think it's super fun. And then my favorite so far of all time is the ocarina. Like
being
able to get – it is amazing. And I have to give a shout out to Captain Alex – who invited me to his town. I did not have the recipe, so he made me three of them.
Yeah.
And so me and my kids have been playing these ocarinas all around town, and the way that they allow you to basically just tap the button, and you can do a sustained press, or you can press it quickly, and it's almost always tuned.
Yeah.
So I had a villager who was singing in the middle of my plaza, and I just thought, hey, I'm going to go play the ocarina and accompany them. And we were shockingly always harmonious.
Yeah.
Like the sounds that I was like in thirds and fifths, and it just sounded really good. And once I started to learn how they were singing, I was getting the rhythm of it. And we had this really nice little duet, this spontaneous thing that just came out of nowhere.
I posted a video on Twitter of me doing the same thing. I had no idea that it would sync. It was one of these amazing moments. I'm going to say, though, that I've pushed every button hoping that I could, like, manipulate the sound that comes out. I'm kind of disappointed you can't. I want to play Ocarina of Time music. I mean, that's what everybody wants to do. Yeah. Like, the Song of Time, or Zelda's Lullaby, something like that. But
What my disappointment with it is that I can't figure out a way to have more than one player use the ocarina at a time.
Oh, okay.
So we have to keep taking turns, unless there's a way, because it is an item that you can highlight and you can set up to your wheel, I think. But, oh, you know why I think I can't do it? My kids don't have the wheels yet.
Okay.
I have to experiment with that a little bit, because you have to buy the little tool wheel with your Nook Miles, and they used it to pay off their debt.
So I'm assuming it's, what, if one person has the ocarina out, the other parties can't use the inventory?
They keep shuffling through their tools, and it'll let them use, like, their fishing pole and their shovel and...
But that just never comes up.
...watering cans, but the ocarina never comes out. So I'm not sure...
Can't they just hold it first before somebody
We tried that. So, because what you can do is shake the controller, and then it changes who the leader is, which is super smooth.
Yeah.
When they first said how to do it, I was like, I'm not so sure about this. But now I'm just like, hey, Ming Chung, shake your controller. All right, Fan, now you become the leader. Okay, get your thing out. Okay, now Fan, you shake it. Jixing, you get in. You're in now. Okay, Jixing, shake it. Daddy's back. And it's super fast, super smooth. Kids don't even need to know what buttons they're pushing. And it changes your controls a little bit, because as the leader, you can basically do anything that you could do normally when you're playing the game.
Yeah.
You have unfettered access to all of your tools, and the camera follows you around. And everyone else can still contribute towards their Nook Miles, and they can still use basically all their tools. But I don't know if the status of the ocarina is the same as some of their other stuff.
Yeah.
So
do you have any...
That's the situation there.
Do you have any complaints with the game so far?
Oh, yeah. A huge complaint. And I realize this is just a random thing, but I love that. I'm going to start with something I love, and then transition to something that has really just boiled my blood. I love that if you wander the beach, you see these little like spouts of sand come off, and if you dig them up, you get a manila clam. And you can craft that manila clam into fish bait, which is awesome. So you just throw the fish bait into any body of water, and a fish will immediately spawn. So there's like three or four fish that, according to some online charts, will no longer be available at the end of March. We're starting to get towards the end of March.
Yeah.
So I look through that list. I'm like, what do I need to catch? And one of them is a string fish. And you can only catch a string fish at a... upper level water basin that's connected to a waterfall.
Sure.
And I do have one of those in my town. I think everybody automatically does. So I go up there and I keep throwing this bait in there and I can't get it to spawn. So I was like, maybe I'm doing something wrong. You have to do it within certain hours. I think it's like 4 p.m. to 9 a.m. And I checked online. I saw somebody do it and they threw it in there three times and they got this huge fish. It's the biggest size fish that there is. I have done it about 150 times.
Yeah.
And I cannot get this big fish to spawn. And I understand that that's part of Animal Crossing. That's always been part of Animal Crossing. But there's something about it that is just making me so aggravated.
I've gotten one good fish the entire time. I got the ore fish, like the super long dragon-looking fish.
I don't have that either, but I need it. I want it.
But yeah, after this podcast, I'm going to be fishing pretty much all night, like, and getting shooting stars. I think that's going to be my entire evening.
Do you know any secret to getting shooting stars? I went to my brother's town when he had like a shooting star fest.
Yeah,
and I kept wishing on him.
So where does the star shards come? If you're in somebody else's town, Will you get them in your town the next day?
Yeah, we weren't sure about that. So he was like, I'm having a meteor shower over here. I'm like, I'm coming over. And I wished on about 40 stars.
Yeah.
I wish I would have stayed there longer because there's a Nook Mile achievement if you wish on 200.
Oh,
so
okay.
So he had them coming nonstop. I could have easily done 200. I just did a bunch.
Yeah.
And then when I got back, I unlocked like the first two tiers. And so he calls me the next day and is like, I got these shards scattered all along my beach. Do you? I said, no, because I'm in Taiwan. And for me, it's not morning yet.
Yeah.
It's still nighttime. And so come the next morning, yeah, I had like where your seashells are.
Yeah.
I had star fragments scattered all along them. But they come in two different varieties.
Yeah, the big one and small one, right?
The big and small. But all mine were small. I had no big ones.
I need
and
one big one for the magic small. Wand item. Same. I just got the Same. Recipe for. So
I don't know if there's like a bigger star. I don't know if it's random where all stars are the same, but maybe randomly you could get a big one, or if there are actually bigger stars in the sky that would produce a big one. So I don't really know what the mechanics behind that are yet, but it was cool. So next time I get one of those meteor showers, I'm just going to sit there and wish my little heart out.
I'll check my town out tonight and I'll message you if there's anything going on and you can come on by.
Nice.
TJ, before we go tonight, I want to go with a little bit of a Legend of Zelda trivia for you tonight. This
one
might be
easy.
It might be hard. I'm not sure. Are you a fan of the Wind Waker?
I am a fan of the Wind Waker,
okay.
Yes.
So in the Wind Waker, there is a map maker by the name of Tingle.
Yes.
Which I'm sure you know.
Yes.
Tingle actually, at a point in the Wind Waker, says how old he is.
Yes.
Do you remember how old Tingle is? I can give you four
I
options.
Think I got it. I think I got it.
Okay. Okay.
I believe that Tingle is a 35-year-old
man. He is 35. Look at that. No hesitation. That was way too easy.
There's something about that was super memorable to me. That the way that he introduced himself is like, I'm a 35-year-old man with aspirations to be a fairy. It just was so random that it kind of it held a place in my mind palace.
I'm 35 next my next birthday, so in September. So who knows? I could
so
be
you,
Tingle.
You need to get a pair of tights, like a full green
bodysuit.
You
don't think
suit.
I have them already?
I should never have second guessed.
How dare you,
Jason.
TJ, where can the good folks at home find more info on you?
Check me out on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel. I've got some fun videos there. I'd love if you joined the conversation in the comments section, or you can interact with me on Twitter at Custom Conquest.
Rock and roll. And once again, you can also find me on the YouTube channel, Nintendo Wire. We are at NintendoWire.com. That's pretty much my home. And on Twitter, my personal Twitter account is at AmiiboJason. Like pretty much everybody else, it's nothing but Animal Crossing stuff on there at the moment, so if you don't want any of that, don't follow. But if you're into DIY stuff, video games, Animal Crossing, I'm a big fan of Final Fantasy, I'm doing a lot of console modifications, I share all that stuff over on at Amiibo Jason. Anything
and
else before we head out?
Yeah, Jason's got the fleekest eyebrows in all the land, so
thank you.
Make sure you give those a look. And if you got yourself a free second and you're a fan of this podcast, reviews would be appreciated, so don't be shy.
Agreed.
Let us know what you think.
All right, TJ, until next time, man, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.